right. Hey, we are here at the 2018 World Credit Union Conference in Singapore, kind of almost in your neck of the woods.
It's almost closer than other venues.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, especially for you. Bank First CEO William Wilkie, and welcome to the conference.
Thank you.
How's it going, sir?
Yeah, it's going pretty well. I thought the keynote speaker this morning was very good. So the breakout sessions have been right, but the keynote speaker was good today. Set the right theme.
Yeah, exactly. Anything in particular that you're looking for?
Well, digital.
aren't we all?
Disruption, what we call open banking or customer data right, the right of the customer to own the data is going to change everything. And that we've just got to be ready to embrace that. And also what he said, that credit unions were well placed because of that not being solely for shareholder profit and that intimacy with the member plays a big role. And he thinks that's an advantage, but to translate that into offerings in a digital world where it's not face-to-face anymore is a challenge. But I think the trust factor, I think you mentioned it a few times, is very important. Reputation and trust.
I agree.
Because if people go digital, who are they going to trust?
Exactly.
So he sees it as a big advantage. I do too.
Yeah, I think the face-to-face thing still matters.
Yes. But who are you going to trust your data? That's the thing. And I think it's coming to the States as well. I think they're starting to talk about open banking or data.
Yeah.
So eventually the consumer or the man in the street, he owns his own data. He or she has to decide where to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a role there for trusted
intermediaries. Oh, man, this is changing so fast.
Indeed.
And so let's talk about we're going to talk a little case study that happened with your credit union, leading successful organizational transformation. Transformation. So it's a case study that you guys. So give me a quick summary on what this is all about, and then we'll dive a little
deeper. Certainly. So just background. We started in 1972 as Victoria Teachers Credit Union. We've changed brand over a number of years, but 5 years ago, the government of Australia allowed credit unions who were big enough, i.e. had enough capital, had proper governance systems to use the word bank. And since then, about 17 larger credit unions have used the word bank, and they represented almost 50% of the assets of the credit union sector in Australia, which is $110 billion. So we adopted the term mutual bank 5 years ago, but then we found, as we started looking forward in terms of who we're going to provide service to, we provide service to educationists, people who care for the community. We also think we should provide service to other people who care, like social workers or allied health workers or aged care workers, you know, the people that provide community pillars of support. And when we did our work, we found that with the younger generations who are the new entrants into all our lives, the term mutual doesn't resonate and the term mutual bank doesn't resonate. So after a very long process, lots of testing, research, we came up with the word bank first. And that resonates. They know what you are.
They know exactly what it is.
When they describe their ideal in our work, when they describe their ideal bank, they are actually describing a credit union because they talk about recognition, treating like a person, service, local, but they don't know what a credit union is, and that's our dilemma.
That's ours too, in the States as well.
I guess for all of us. So I guess, and there are many in Australia, like I said, maybe 16 or 17 that have got the word bank in their name now and dropped mutual.
Really? So how do
we are committed to always being member owned.
Oh, of course.
Without a doubt.
Of course, of course. But my thought process is like, okay, well, how do the real banks, for lack of better terminology, how do they feel about that? Are they feeling infringed upon?
It's interesting because we like Canada, where we have four or five major banks, and they bank about 85 to 90% of the banking. So, but there's a Royal Commission into Misconduct in Australia where the government has set up a Royal Commission, which would be called a Presidential Commission in the US, looking into misconduct. And there are a lot of case studies coming out where the banks have mistreated or wrongly treated customers, and there's a huge uproar and there's going to be more regulation. So what the banks are doing is trying to look more customer friendly, more customer oriented. There's lots of advertising going on, and that's been their response. So they're starting to talk more like, okay, there's a customer in this as well, not just a shareholder. So they're starting to talk and feel like credit unions, mutual banks. And that's been their public response.
Oh yeah, that's happening elsewhere as well.
And also what their response is in terms of service, thus they will change the incentive programs, selling, all of that, there'll be change. The chief executives are really talking differently. So they're not necessarily responding to us changing our name to bank, but they're responding to the societal expectation of banking, the social license, which they've never regarded as strongly as we do.
They seem to be looking at you and say, oh, wow, that's working for them. Yeah. Maybe it can work for us, too.
But honestly, we're probably too small for us to worry them.
Right.
But we've got to look at us growing, haven't we, so we can become a consideration.
Right. And then they'll start worrying about you.
Yeah, yes.
That's a good thing for you, I would think. Yeah, it's a good problem to have.
It's a very good problem to have. But they are working much harder on customer satisfaction scores, etc., so they're closing the gap. We used to have big gaps, and now they're closing closer because they are measured on those sort of things now, too.
Right. So what has been the reaction or the results, even better, since the change?
So it was low-key. We announced to all our members, 100,000-plus in October. We launched in December. Out of 100,000, we had maybe 500 responses, and 250 were negative. So it's 0.25%. And we have a very engaged membership. We spoke to all of those people, and they were all happy after we'd explained why we did it.
Really?
The issue was when they saw the ad, the change of name on the website or on a mobile banking app, they hadn't read any of the stuff we'd been sending them for 3 or 4 months. So we try so hard to talk to them, explain why, and they don't read it. Oh, what are you doing? You're becoming a bank.
Oh, all of a sudden.
The response has been good. The response has been good with all the stakeholders that we work with. And to be honest, we've only gone into the public domain as of Sunday, yesterday.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's fresh.
So it's in terms of going profile, first we had to work with our own members. So it's too early to say. But I've just got an email that the contact center got 3 calls yesterday. And where did they get the information from? From TV. So that's good.
Ah,
so it's just small.
That's working.
The early signs are good.
Yeah.
They're very positive.
So what advice do you have? Because I don't know, maybe this is just my narrow American focus, but I don't know, I don't see this working too well in the United States.
Yes,
because of the animosity between credit unions and banks already. If a credit union put the B word in their name.
Yeah, no. When I presented in Gdansk, Michael Edwards, who's with Woku, he explained to me that Mutual Bank, and others did too, Mutual Bank was a step to demutualization in the States. If you took the word mutual bank from a community bank, it was interpreted as, okay, you're going to be not publicly owned. I would think, I agree with you, your interpretation would be right, because you're much larger. You've got, 110
million now.
Members.
Yeah.
A much larger proportion than this. In Australia, we've got 4 million of 25.
Okay.
We are 10% of the system. You are larger. So I think the credit union movement in the States
we
is
have
much
their
stronger.
Attention. We have
yeah,
their
yeah,
attention.
And you have very effective lobbying, and your political system is different, so you can go to the senator.
Yeah.
Not like Westminster parliamentary system, where it's a bit different, I think, like us in the UK and New Zealand and so on. So I think your assessment is correct, that would be a step you probably couldn't take.
But your experience seems to be extremely positive. Whereas maybe in other parts of the world, maybe it might not be so positive. You would have some big-time resistance from a larger entity.
I think at a conference like this, when you see systems like US, Canada, and Australia, and then you compare it to what's going on in Bangladesh and Ghana and Kenya, which is much more grassroots of where credit unions started all those years ago, there's a large diversity. So I think the response has to be appropriate for the circumstances that each system is in.
There are a number of credit unions in the States, and I keep bringing it back to America because that's what I'm familiar with, but they're I don't say they're not including credit union there, but they're using financial. Like there's a credit union called GTE Financial. There's a number of others that are using the term financial instead of credit union because there is some confusion on what a credit union is, and that's a big issue in our country and probably in other parts of the world as well.
And
so
in Australia, the ones who weren't big enough to, in terms of capital, etc., to use the word bank, because the regulators wouldn't allow them. Mm-hmm. It's only in the last 6 months that they've been allowed to use the word bank, irrespective of this.
In Canada,
So they were dropping the word credit union, like you've just said.
Yeah.
So they were calling them X and X equivalent, financial, X and X banking, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they were doing the same thing. So it's some of that similarity.
It's all trying to understand what we're trying to do, and that's the story. So so what have been any lessons learned that you can share to other credit unions out there who are thinking maybe, a name change in general?
Well, for us, it wasn't just a name change. It was a multiplicity of things. The name change the brand had to be able to carry the organization to where it wanted to go. So the brand was a limiting factor, especially in in the digital world. So I've got example, having the word Victoria in our name, which is a state, mm-hmm. when there's no geographic boundaries in the internet, doesn't
right.
really make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
To have the word teachers, when in our case, when half people at schools are no longer teachers, but they're educational aides or support staff, and they say, well, I'm not a teacher, I can't join that, can I?
Right, it's very limiting.
So over time, as the composition of the educational workforce changed, it became limiting. Mm-hmm. If we went to talk to universities and say, no, we're not for teachers, we are above teachers. So okay. it became limiting.
Okay.
So,
wow.
And then also, but really, we were driven more by a digital strategy to provide advice and a portal, a trusted advice mm-hmm. portal that links in through APIs to many, many sources and digital offerings and to the millennials. Because that's where growth comes from, but right. not ignoring our current members.
Exactly.
And then we had to look at the brand question as well mm-hmm. at the same time. It was linked into an overall
mm-hmm.
strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a big deal. Advice, I would suggest that people should always look at the market and see what forces are out there. Don't just change the name for the name, or as an internal driver, make sure it has... substance or validity out mm-hmm. there in your mm-hmm. chosen marketplace right. or where you want to go beyond your chosen marketplace.
That's where all that research comes in,
yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
isn't it
yeah.
amazing the perception of a name? It kind of handcuffs you in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is amazing that things change.
Yeah,
and in our place, there was brand confusion. It's probably unique to Australia. But it is amazing but brands do change. If you just look at the big brands in the world, they haven't necessarily changed their name, but they've changed logos or positioning.
Yeah.
Or
I remember when Nissan was Datsun, and
yes,
they
right.
changed it and went, what is going on? It's the world,
correct.
What's going on?
Correct.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm sure you got lots of stuff, lots of people to see and all that type of stuff, so I appreciate you coming by, William.
Right,
anything else to add
no,
to wrap
no,
up?
That, no, thank you very much.
Okay.